Hey, this is Chris Bleck. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast, brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. If this is the first time you're listening to Bleck and Abdallah, welcome. We are not Rain Delay Theater.
Hi.
We love football. And that's why I say that up front, because if you've ever listened to our program, whether it be on Sunday mornings, Friday nights, back when we were filling in for Jonathan Hood, whenever he would be working national shows, the one thing that we do that is a constant throughout the calendar year is Bleck and Abdallah. We talk football. It's what we love. We enjoy doing it. And it's something that I feel as if there's always something else that we can get into that's interesting when it comes to the National Football League. And tonight, we kick off.
It's opening night, baby.
And football's back, and it's great, and it's awesome, and it's wonderful.
We got like 20 minutes. Texans, Chiefs,
ooh, baby.
It's going to be great. The Chiefs are up to how would you like to have this kind of Skrilla? Right? Like, I was just going to mention that the Chiefs are a 9.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
The over-under is 53.5. A dude just walked into Aria in Vegas.
I love Aria.
Aria's great. I won mad money at Aria playing blackjack with your dad.
What, did we spend like 6 hours there?
Yeah, because that was a heater. Well, like, I didn't know what a heater was, and then I was like, oh, this is a heater.
Well, and we weren't staying near the Aria.
No, that's we had to walk there.
We took like a detour to go to Aria.
Yeah, that's like because our cab driver drove us like behind all the villas and everything. Yeah. They're like, this is the side of Vegas you don't see.
Yeah.
This is where like the celebrities stay. All these hotels have villas. So a player walked into the Aria in Vegas and bet $100,000 on the Chiefs and the Texans under 53.5.
Okay.
$100,000 on the Miami UAB over 54.5 tonight. Okay.
All right.
And $100,000 on the Lakers Rockets over 218.5.
And Rockets Lakers are playing right now.
Yeah. But imagine just being like, oh, sports are back. Here's $300,000 I'm going to bet tonight.
And the Lakers lead right now in the second quarter, 7:33 left in the second. Lakers lead 37-27. And just a quick thought on that game. The Rockets have to win this game to keep the series going,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Like, this is a game that James Harden needs to go off, and Russell Westbrook has to take care of the ball. Early on, Westbrook already with two turnovers. He has 6 points. He leads the Rockets right now in points. Harden is 1 for 5 from the field. He's only attempted 1 3. He missed. He has 5 points. Mm-hmm. So the Lakers right now, 8 points from Anthony Davis. LeBron has 4 points, but he has 4 rebounds and 3 assists already. Lakers up 10 in the second quarter, midway through the second quarter. But football's back, and I'm thrilled, and I love going through all the projections and all the picks, and we will be making our season picks for the NFL at 7:35 tonight.
Good to know.
Yeah, we'll do that, and we'll give our final thoughts on the Chicago Bears season as well, since tomorrow night, on Friday nights, we only have the baseball show from 6 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be getting our Bears content, our Bears thoughts, and our NFL predictions out here on tonight's program. So we have that to look forward to. Also, good question tonight. And the Fat Jack will give us picks for the gambling weekend. So we have a lot to do.
A lot.
Did you see one of our favorite sites, Football Outsiders? Now, if you are new to the NFL analytical world, and listen, this is a new show.
It.
This is what, week 3 for us here on the program at night?
Mm-hmm,
I'm just trying to get everyone caught up to speed. You and I have hosted
bits, right?
Well, and we've hosted shows on this station for over 10 years in different various spots and roles. But the one thing that has been a constant in our football consumption is going to a website called footballoutsiders.com.
We've been explaining what DVOA is for a long time, and that's what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, they put out their DVOA projections. It takes every play into account, runs all the metrics. Basically, it's football war.
Yeah, it's an efficiency metric that allows you to determine, outside of just looking at scores, points, and yardage, it combines a whole bunch of different down and distance and everything else that goes into offensive, defensive, special teams, efficiency ratings for the different units of football that we watch on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays.
And I used to say DVOA doesn't lie. Well, it's not that it doesn't lie. It's that DVOA is rarely lying to you. It's rarely fibbing.
Why do you say, why do you hedge like that?
Well, because sometimes, like, it's not something that you can be like, hey, you know, like week one, they put out their DVOA projections for the season, right? Because there's nothing to go off of after week one, right? Or before week one. So right now it says the Lions are going to make the playoffs by their metrics. It doesn't mean the Lions are going to make the playoffs. Like, when we look at, the way we used to look at it is we would look at where the Bears rank, and we would look at where their opponent ranks, and we were like, well, the DVOA says this, so odds are that the Bears will win or lose based on this, right? And more often than not, I would say that the DVOA is right. That doesn't mean it's always right.
Yeah.
But I would say that more often than not...
Listen, it's a good metric.
It is right.
And it's something that I think if you kind of pay attention to throughout the football season, what it does usually, and the thing that I think it does really well, is it can spot the teams who are really good really early on. And you might, driving around tonight, say, well, Bleck, you're an idiot. It's easy to spot a team that's really good when they just beat someone 40-0.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get that. But sometimes there are teams that are winning some close games, but based on the down and distance, based on the efficiency of the teams that they are playing, you will know early on, okay, these are probably the four or five best teams in the league.
Yeah.
And the DVOA rankings are always right on the money with that.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like what Abdallah said, when you're looking at Bears games throughout the season, it's usually pretty good. And this is why it's helpful. If you're someone that says, well, I read the paper and the paper said this, or someone who's a sports talk radio host said that, and they said that this team is trash and the Bears should win, and then you show up at 3:30 on Sunday and the Bears lost by 6, there's a good chance, DVOA already suggested that that game was not going to go the way as all the local homers were assuming it would go.
Shots, man.
Well, I mean, listen.
Okay, listen, like right
you,
now.
You mentioned the Lions.
No.
You mentioned the Lions off the bat.
I did.
There are people in this town already suggesting that the Bears are going to crush the Lions.
They are.
DVOA is suggesting that the Lions is that they're the only team in the NFC North that's going to make the playoffs.
So if
we get the Sunday at 3:30 and you're sitting there and the Bears lose 24-17, you're going to text me and say, wow, DVOA was kind of right, kind of suggesting that the Lions are probably better than people think.
Right now, according to the DVOA, according to the total DVOA, offense, defense, special teams, all that stuff, right now, the Bears are the 22nd ranked team in the NFL. The Lions are ranked 14th. Right?
Right.
So, to me, that says, if it was, you know, the Lions are 14th, the Bears are 15th, I'd be like, okay, coin toss, right? That's a coin toss. But you're telling me that the Lions are 14th and the Bears are 22nd. The Bears have their defensive ranking is the Bears have the 7th best defense, the 25th best offense, according to DVOA. The Lions have the 16th best offense and the 19th best defense. And their special teams rank is 12th and the Bears rank 13th in special teams. Okay. I will tell you that in special teams, I would say that the Bears are lower than 13th because Cairo Santos is their kicker. And
that's a fair way to look at it.
And history would suggest that he is not a good kicker. And if it comes down to it, and Vegas has predicted this to be a field goal game because the line is 3, and if it comes down to it and the Bears need to kick a field goal to tie or win the game, I don't trust Cairo Santos. So I would say that this is a good metric because this says the Lions are better and the Bears are worse, much like a lot of the national media, and not the, as you term them, local homers.
Well, I mean, does that not happen every year?
Yeah.
I mean, think back to the John Fox days. Remember Foxy's last season before the year? All of the local media was telling you that the Bears are going to be a playoff team. Bleck and Abdallah were telling you that this team's probably going to win like 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? Yep. They were no good.
Nope, 8-8.
They were terrible.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm just saying that you don't think there's local homers in this city?
No,
we can be real on this show. Homers. You know what happens?
I think there are people. I think there are people that are set in their football ways, and I think that there are people that will not acknowledge that the Lions can ever be better. I think there are people that can acknowledge that. Well, the Bears' defense is going to carry them, and that's all that matters. Is the Bears are going to have a defense, and Nagy's going to run the ball more because he said he was going to run the ball more, and hopefully Mitch doesn't screw up, and that'll take them to 12 wins. And it's like, wait, what do you what?
So it's an odd mix there, right, to get to that outcome.
Right. So to me, both things can be true. The Lions might not win the division, but they're going to be a better football team than they have been in the past if Matthew Stafford stays healthy for the entire season.
Okay. So we did a lot of promotion there for Football Outsiders and their Stafford DVOA. Here is what the projections say. These are the teams in the NFC that will make the playoffs. The Saints, and this is the order of their ranking of how good they are, right? Saints are the best team. Then it goes to the Bucks, the Seahawks, the Cowboys, the Rams, the Eagles, the Lions. Those are the teams that get into the playoffs from the NFC. Now, it should be noted that both the Falcons and the 49ers are better, according to DVOA, than the Lions. But the Lions will win the division, therefore they get into the playoffs. The Falcons and the 49ers both miss the playoffs, even though the projections are suggesting they will be better teams. Mm-hmm. When we look at the AFC, here's the order that they go in as far as the projections go to make the playoffs. Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Tennessee, New England, Buffalo. And in the AFC, there are no teams that get skipped over. Actually, there is one. Houston is the only team that's better than Buffalo per the projections, but Buffalo gets into the playoffs. I don't know how that quite works. It must be because of the exact same metric, right? Mm-hmm. Because Houston and Buffalo are at the exact same line, mm-hmm. both rated the 19th and 20th teams, so they must give the edge to Buffalo there.
Yeah.
Because New England gets in, but they're 17th.
Well, they have Buffalo winning getting a wild card spot,
right? But not Houston.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and they have from that division, they have Kansas, they have Indy in that,
right,
in there. Yeah,
and they're the seventh best team,
yeah,
in the NFL. So mm-hmm. that's what DVOA is suggesting, and for the rest of the division, so the Lions would be the playoff team. They have the Packers, so the Lions are 14th overall. The Packers are 16th. The Vikings are 18th. The Bears are 22nd. So they have every team in the NFC North all right together, bunched together,
yeah,
which, by the way, is the exact same thing they kind of had last year, except they didn't have the Lions winning it. I think they had the Vikings winning it.
I think they did too, but they had the Bears not making the playoffs, if I remember correctly, last season. And so this season, you look at it again, and the Bears aren't making the playoffs, and I think you and I both agree that the Bears aren't making the playoffs this year.
We'll get to that in 20 minutes. We'll give you the final projections. What's your record right now?
My Bears record?
Yeah.
We'll get to that in 20 minutes.
All right. We'll get picks for the gambling weekend from the Fat Jack coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Down to kickoff. Football is almost here, Abdallah. Here we go, Chiefs and Texans.
Almost. We got 2 minutes.
Yeah, we've got
intros.
Time.
We're in the intro.
Here we go. Football is finally back. Love it. Need help betting games against the spread this season? The Fat Jack is the most trusted sports advisor in the game. The NFL, college football, NBA, MLB, and UFC. Every result is tracked and verified. Daily, weekly, monthly, and season packages are available at thefatjacksports.com. Call 800-298-1383. Follow him on Twitter at thefatjack, fatjacksports.com. Check him out. Jack joins us now. And Jack, football is finally here. What a great night.
Boy, thank goodness. You know, from where we've come from February and March, I mean, it's so nice to be playing. It's still a weird year. I mean, the fact that Notre Dame is playing, but Indiana is not in college football, Northwestern's not, some of those schools. I know a lot of people up there are sitting around frustrated, but tonight we get the NFL underway, and it's a great game, good start to the season, and it's a normality to our lives. So I'm very excited about it. You know, everybody gets exactly the same picks, those games that I'm personally playing, but when I win, you win. When I lose, you lose, and that's the way I do it here. So very excited about the night. I've got to play in the college game, the NFL game, and baseball tonight. We already hit a baseball game today. So a lot going on here on a Thursday night.
And I know the national anthem is going on right now, Chiefs and Texans. Is there a way that we should play that game and still get our bets in for tonight's action?
Yeah, we're not going to play the national anthem for sure. We're going to wait to the Super Bowl. That's right. They're going to milk it out. No. Yeah, here's the deal with tonight's game. As a general rule of week one, because we have nothing to go off of as far as the preseason goes, people will be looking to what happened last year for their information. That's a horrible idea in the NFL. You can't look from one week to the next. So as a general rule, look for teams that you think will go over or are probably going to spend more time under over the first few weeks, and look at what the trends have been the last couple of years. Home teams have covered only 43% of the time last year. And so I look for that to even out a little bit. But just because a team is at home in the NFL, and we deal with no fans or few fans this year, that may be even emphasized a little bit more. As tonight's game go, I mean, very few people realize this, but only about 6% of NFL games end with a double-digit victory. So it's a little more than 1 in 20 games. Most of the games are within double digits. So if you like Kansas City tonight, that's a big-time blowout. And this is the same Houston team that, you know, went up and beat them last year during the regular season. So I think that's probably where you should go tonight if you're going to play, is play Houston, simply because the value is going to be with the underdog, at least early in the year, with the lack of information most people have.
All right, let's go to Sunday in Detroit for the Chicago Bears. I feel like the Bears plus 3 is Vegas begging me to throw a bunch of money at the Bears.
Well, if you're a Bears fan, aren't you saying that almost weekly? I mean, there's so much expectation with the Bears. I spent a ton of time in Chicago. I've eaten more Portillo's than most people, as my son, you know, goes to the University of Chicago. So I'm up there a ton. And the Bears, listen, you got to love them because they are all it. I mean, they, no matter what happens, they believe this is going to be the year. You got the quarterback situation ironed out for now. I know there's going to be a short hook, but you're right. I mean, most of the general public, with the lack of information, is going to go ahead and play the Bears and Trubisky over this Detroit team. But consider this, guys. Detroit had the 11th hardest schedule last year. They really played a difficult schedule. This year they got the 28th hardest schedule. So they're going to go regress back to the mean as over the season, simply because they're playing easier teams. They're also only 3-7-1 in games decided by one score. That's really unlucky. Games decided by one score in the NFL, you're thinking you're at least going to win 50% of those. But maybe the most telling stat about this Detroit game, for guys that are just looking to last year, they led 43% of the time last year. All right, a team that leads 43% of the minutes played during the season, that typically analytically will equate to about 8.5 wins a year. So a team that only won 6 games last year, they really underachieved. So they're long and short of it, they're better than most people think. I know the Bears don't want to hear that. I don't know that I would throw out the entire season if it doesn't go great for the Bears on Sunday. But Bears are a wait-and-see team for me, as they should be with everybody from a betting standpoint, simply because the quarterback situation has such a big question mark. And I do think you're going to see both guys before we get to October. So I would wait and see with them more than just about any team. They're kind of the poster child of don't jump out there too early just because you love the Bears.
The Fat Jack, you can go to his website, fatjacksports.com. Follow him on Twitter, at the Fat Jack, or call 800-298-1383. As we look to more games on Sunday, the Packers and the Vikings, I'm seeing numbers around 3, 2.5. The Packers are the underdog in this contest. How do you see this one playing out between the Packers and the Vikings on Sunday?
Yeah, but the sharps just bet that down. Sharp players, for guys that are new, are guys not like the average $50 player, or guys like myself that are playing somewhere between $5,000 and $20,000 a game or more. And when they bet, the lines typically will move. It's hard to move an NFL line. It takes a lot of money, or the right type of money. And that's what happened there. It was 3. The public bet back with Green. Or excuse me. The sharps bet back with Green Bay. Here's the deal. Aaron Rodgers, they're going to be better this year for sure. And I think, look on Sunday in that type of game, you're going to get a lot of the running game out of Minnesota. the games up there between Green Bay and Minnesota historically go under the total. They're very close games, lower scoring typically. The Minnesota's defense does a good job of controlling Aaron Rodgers. But if you get late in the game when it's inside a field goal or so, and you've got Aaron Rodgers, you have a shot. So they're 6-1. Green Bay 6-1 straight up in their last seven games. I actually think they go in and make it the win here. And certainly, I like it better at 3 than I do the 2.5. But if make me play the game first week out of the box, I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers over Minnesota's offense. Even though I think you're going to get it, it's going to be uncomfortable for a while because they are with Dalvin Cook going to run the ball effectively. So you're going to it's going to be one of those cringe games, but you'll pull it out in the end. So Green Bay, if you make me play.
There's a couple instances of West Coast teams heading east, and I know that's a trend that a lot of people like to bet. That's, you know, don't take the West Coast team that's going east. But I feel like one team that has kind of stayed away from that trend are the Seattle Seahawks. They're a 1.5 favorite in Atlanta this weekend. How do you look at that one?
Yeah, Seattle travels really well. They actually play really well at night, 26-9-3 in night games. And actually, they're you know, they're one of the few teams that do travel pretty well. So that's another game, you know, I'm not sure I would be jumping on that. I'll tell you a spot that I like. You know, who doesn't travel well are the Raiders. The Raiders are a horrible west-to-east traveling team. They're actually, what are they? They're 6-14 or 6-15 when kicking off at noon Central, which is, you know, obviously where you and I are. So I would play against the Raiders till further notice. They're one of those teams that I think people in Vegas will be excited about it until they realize that they're not going to be any good again this year. So I would play against them on that west to east type travel. Seattle, really good at night and really good going east, or pretty good going east overall. But I'm going to stay away from them. I would definitely play against the Raiders. So.
An intriguing game that I have my eye on. The Rams are hosting the Cowboys. The Rams are at home. And they are the underdog. 2.5 is the line at the moment. Boys and Rams, what do you think of that one, Fat Jack?
Yeah, I actually like both these teams. I mean, it's one of those games that whoever comes out of this, I'm going to like even more. You get a little bit arrogant in this deal. When you start thinking who's going to win the Super Bowl, who's going to play better, or take that next step, you can really get caught up in, well, how are they going to do this week, A versus B? And I'm kind of doing that with Dallas, I think. I like where Dallas is. The coaching change absolutely helps them. And they have a big offensive line, great running back with Elliott. They're going to throw the ball effectively, veteran quarterback. And if they stay healthy defense, which they should be right now, you like their chances to play well. The Rams, on the other hand, we talked about this before, but McVay, you know, a couple of years ago was the brainchild of the entire NFL. I mean, the guy was ahead of his time and all that. This last year, they stepped back. So I think they're going to have a better year also. If they don't hold serve at home, you know, I don't know if it's going to be in the world for the Rams, because I do like where Dallas is. This total typically goes over. And the reason it does is because we may have talked about this last week, but when the Rams are behind, McVay reverts back to what he likes to do. He will go back. If they're down a field goal, they throw it almost 76% of the time. If they're down a touchdown, he throws it 83% of the time. That's over the last 2 years. So what's happened, Dallas gets the lead. Rams have to throw it. They're effective doing that. Dallas still scores, turns into a track meet. It goes over the total. So I'm going to wait and see on the side on Sunday, but I'm going to play over the total because there's a lot of different ways to get that one over.
The other marquee game of the weekend, it might be the biggest game on the slate, is Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints. This line came down. It was at 4. Now it's at 3.5. Still above that key number of 3, but what do you think of this one with Tommy making his debut for Tampa Bay?
Tommy.
Yeah, you know, as I said, everybody gets the exact same picks I'm getting. So if we play New Orleans, everybody gets New Orleans. Just text your cell phone or email to you. And I'll tell you, the one thing I don't like about them is this team historically stumbles out of the gate versus the number. They're 2-15 against the spread their last 17 games in week 1 and week 2. The translation, people in New Orleans are not eating beignets after week 2 of the season. They're down there eating, you know, beans and rice or something, because you're not making any money with the Saints early in the year. But in this spot, I've been saying literally for a month that I think that Tampa Bay is not going to be able to plug and go with Brady, and with Fournette, I think, was a tell that they do not think they're there quite offensively. I have good sources down there. Brady's thrown a bunch of interceptions, and I just don't think he's going to be able to run around like Jameis Winston did. Now, he's going to throw it to his team when he gets time, but the offensive setup from last year was run, have Jameis Winston play like he's in the backyard. He'll run around, let the receivers get downfield, and then he'll find somebody. He was very productive offensively when he threw it to his team. He just made way too many mistakes. This is a different quarterback. He's not as mobile. I don't like Brady on the year, at least the start. I think it's going to take some time. People have undervalued the fact we have not spent any time going ones against ones. We haven't spent, and by the way, I got UAB plus the 16. They just scored, so let's go. All right, we're going to make some money tonight.
Absolutely.
But they are one of those teams that they are going to take a little bit of time because once they've been playing ones, they didn't have any scrimmages, no preseason games. That has to be factored in. That and the lack of fans need to be factored in here in week one.
Jack, before we let you go, is there anything on the NFL card that we missed or anything in the college game on Saturday that we should keep our eyes on?
Yeah, we had BYU over on Monday, and that got over easily. Thank goodness BYU. I mean, Navy could not stop BYU. Over with them, and we had under with the Memphis game on Saturday. So off to a pretty good start in college. It's kind of a tiptoe in college because you just don't know. You're seeing a lot of blowouts because teams are not prepared to some other teams. We're even seeing teams being pushed back. So steer clear of that. The NFL this week, we're going to tiptoe in there, get my plays of that. And the NFL, we are going to hammer this week, starting this week. And next week, guys, win or lose, we will talk about it. And all the games will be posted. You don't have to guess whether I'm winning or losing, because I'll tell you about UAB, because every single client around the country has UAB right now, and they also have the program coming up. And all those games will be posted at FatJackSports.com. The longer you sign up, the less expensive it is. Do not wait. Get signed up today and win this weekend. Play the Raiders for sure. We already went over a bunch of them, but I would definitely play the Raiders. Against the Raiders, excuse me, and I would probably go ahead and play against Tom Brady until further notice.
Thank you, Jack. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Guys, have a great week. I'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the NFL football. We're there, and everybody go to FatJackSports.com and start winning today.
Thanks, Jack. That's Jack. Go to the FatJackSports.com. You can also call 800-298-1381. Follow him on Twitter, at TheFatJack. Need help betting games against the spread? The Fat Jack is the most trusted sports advisor in the game. The NFL, college football, NBA, MLB, and UFC, every result tracked and verified, daily, weekly, monthly, and season packages all available. The NFL season has kicked off.
Dude, it's on right now.
KC, Houston, they are playing currently. Mahomes going into the huddle for his first series of the season.
A lot of money walking out onto that field right now.
We will give you our NFL projections and picks for the season coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
You smell that?
Is it football?
Well, I mean, the football season has started, but we're in our first official review of the NFL season.
Great.
There it is.
I don't care if he caught it or not. That ball could not have been placed any better.
Mahomes on the first drive.
It just twist the knife.
What was that, like a 50-yard pass?
Just twist the knife.
Right
just
down the center of the field.
Twist it a little more.
All right, Black and Abdallah here with you on ESPN 1000. Since football is back, this is our Back to Football Week.
We missed you, football.
Hut, and then hut.
Black and Abdallah.
Oh, whoa! What a hit!
Best time of year again, Back to Football.
I watch him, he's going. Hut, hut, hut.
What a catch!
Oh, God.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh! I'm excited, man. I'm super excited.
Black and Abdallah.
I'm amazing.
Oh,
on ESPN 1000. We missed you, football, and it's great to have you back.
So let's get into this here. I know this season has technically started.
Yeah.
But Sunday, the real fun starts, especially for us Bears fans. And this is our last opportunity to talk to you before the NFL season really kicks off over the course of the weekend. Tomorrow night, Black and Abdallah, we will be on the baseball show from 6 to 7. The Odds Couple take over at 7 o'clock on Friday evenings. So this is our last football chance to really get into it before week one around the National Football League kicks off. So we're going to get into our predictions for this season and why we've gone with the way that we have. Do you want to get into the Bears first, or do you want to go through the National Football League, and then we'll get to the Bears at the end of the
segment? Yeah, we save it for the end.
Okay.
Save it for the end.
So in the AFC, these are the playoff teams I have winning divisions.
Mm-hmm.
In the East, I have the New England Patriots. In the North, I have the Ravens. In the South, I have the Texans. In the West, I have the Chiefs. My three wild card teams are the Steelers, the Colts, and the Chargers. Those are my playoff teams. Patriots, Ravens, Texans, Chiefs, Steelers, Colts, Chargers.
I have the Bills, the Ravens, the Colts, and the Chiefs winning their respective divisions. And my wild card teams are the Patriots, the Steelers, and the Texans.
Okay, and that's because you and I both have the Colts and the Texans getting in.
Yeah.
And you said the Bills are going to win the East?
Yes.
So you have the Bills and the Patriots getting in. I have two Correct. Teams from the West.
Yes.
Kansas City and L.A. You know, I kind of feel like here's the one thing. Because on paper for you, the one thing your AFC does not do is you basically have all of the teams that were in the mix of the playoffs last year. You have no new blood there.
Well, the Titans aren't in it anymore.
Well, you removed them and you just added the Colts.
Okay.
I'm just making sure. Are you comfortable with that? You know, in the NFL, each year you get a team from the bottom that rises. That's why I put the Chargers in there.
Different year, bro.
Okay. I'm just talking through it. I mean,
different year.
Okay. Do you have a team? Who do you have getting to the championship weekend in the AFC?
The Chiefs.
Well, they play. There are two teams that play that day.
And the didn't know we were going more than division winners.
Okay,
I'll go Chiefs Ravens.
Okay,
Chiefs Ravens.
I'm going to give you the Steelers and the Chiefs.
Wow,
I think Steelers Chiefs will be a cool AFC championship.
Okay,
game.
Okay,
okay. So for the NFC, these are the divisional winners.
Mm-hmm.
I have Dallas, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, Seattle.
Okay,
my wild card teams. New Orleans, San Francisco, L.A. Rams.
Okay. I have Dallas, Minnesota, New Orleans, and Seattle winning their respective divisions. I have the 49ers, the Packers, and the Bucks as my wild card teams. So the Bucks make it, and then I think the... Because we were talking about teams that didn't make it before.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bucs was another one. And then for my championship game in the NFC, I think the Cowboys make it to the championship game, and I think they face the Seattle Seahawks.
Interesting. The other thing I would note from your picks is that you think the NFC North is strong enough to get two teams into the playoffs.
Well, I think the Vikings win the division, right? But I think that the Packers are better than the Giants and the Eagles and the Washington, the WTFs, or WFTs, sorry. And I think that they're better than the Falcons, and I think that they're better than the Panthers, and I think that they're better than the Rams, and I think that they're better than the Cardinals.
I've got the San Francisco 49ers at Cowboys.
Okay.
For the NFC Championship.
The Cowboys.
Game.
Wow.
Do you have a Super Bowl matchup?
I like Seattle and I like Kansas City.
I've got Dallas, Kansas City.
Wow.
Dallas, Kansas City for the Super Bowl.
Oh, that is the win of all wins for the NFL.
Not really, because in all
Super
years,
Bowl,
like,
everybody
would prefer
Super Bowl,
to get people in the venue if it was going to be Cowboys.
Oh, well,
Chiefs,
yeah. But, no, but listen, you're going to have eyes upon eyes upon eyes. Like, everybody watches the Super Bowl regardless. But, like, if you have the hype of the Chiefs and the Cowboys finally getting there, like, again, like, it's wow.
And I, for my MVP, I'm going to go Deshaun Watson. Defensive Player of the Year, I'm going to give you T.J. Watt. That's what I've got here.
MVP, I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes again. And Defensive Player of the Year. I didn't think of this one, so I'll just go T.J. Watt. I didn't know you were going to ask me for that. I didn't know you were going to ask me for Defensive Player of the Year. I didn't know you were going to, like, you should have said, hey, we're not just discussing teams, Adam. Well, I want to know Defensive Player of the Year.
I'm backing up. The reason why I think Pittsburgh's going to be so good is I think defensively, Big Ben's back. I think that's why they get to the AFC Championship.
Okay. I did not. Who's your Coach of the Year? Who's you going to ask me for Coach of the Year, too? You're
going to
ask me for
coaches?
Coach of the Year?
I don't know.
Coach of the year?
Well, it won't be Mike McCarthy, so give me Tomlin. Tomlin?
No.
Why not?
Bill Belichick.
Oh, Bill? Yeah, that's a fair point.
Bill Belichick.
I could see that. I could also see McVay, the Rams bounce back this season, or Anthony Lynn. If I have the Chargers making the playoffs, he'll be in the discussion for Coach of the Year. All right, the Chicago Bears. We address the Bears and our season predictions for the Chicago Bears coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Thanks to Sean Davis for producing tonight's show. You can download the podcast of Black and Abdallah on the ESPN Chicago app. You can also download the baseball show right from the app. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and on the ESPN Chicago app. Make sure you download and subscribe to the Black and Abdallah podcast. Coming up, we will talk about the Chicago Bears, our predictions for the Bears season, our final record, our final thoughts on how this season will go for the Chicago Bears. But Abdallah, every single time, each week at this time, we bring you good question. And we score the hosts here at ESPN 1000 who get the best questions by asking questions. And the guest on the phone says good or great question. You score a point. In 2020, this year, who leads in good question?
1, G. Thomas Waddle has 35. Jonathan Hood has 29. His radio partner, David Kaplan, has 28.
All right. We have a good race at the top. Let's go to good question.
You're going to take any questions?
You want me to let me finish talking? You ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. Don't interrupt me, okay? Just leave it plain and simple, all right?
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38. Dad, I got a question
for can I get it? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
It's the question that drives us near. It's the question that brought you here.
How could you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance?
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
Dad, I got a question for you. Can I get an answer?
Here is this week's edition of Good Question.
So, Jesse.
Xander.
You could say, and I know Chris Bryant doesn't seem to be in part of this answer, but if out of the struggling Cubs stars, who are you most confident that will eventually turn things around for themselves?
This season?
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually is a really good question.
Jesse.
Chuck, who has impressed you?
Jonathan Hood.
Cease or Dunning?
Up to 30.
As far as the starters for the Sox.
That is a great question.
Nope. That's it. That's it for the week. Wow, two questions? Wow, 5 minutes left in the segment. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, what are we?
Two questions all week.
What are we going to do?
Looks like the staff has to step it up.
What are we going
to
do for
us included?
Minutes?
We had guests this week.
Yeah,
I didn't get a point. You didn't get a point. All right. I know a lot of people tweeted this show from earlier. Cap got a terrible question from Chuck Garfine.
So do we take off one?
No.
Oh, okay.
It does not get scored. It's not a good or great question. The rules are simple. We are not subtracting points. We are not giving half points. We are not giving
but
good,
pretty
good
funny.
Efforts. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's hilarious.
Isn't
I don't
it like
disagree.
Plus minus in the NBA, though?
No, because we can't. Because when you interview someone, they don't usually say that's a terrible question.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that gets to
like,
just
I've
stand
asked a lot
on its
of bad
own.
Questions. I don't think I've ever had a guest say that's a bad question.
It gets to just stand on its own, and it can just live there. Did you see the memo, by chance, from earlier today from our bosses telling the show in the morning not to play promos for our show, Black and Abdallah? Did you see that memo? Well, because
news to me,
because Cap and Jonathan Hood, they talk about us so frequently that like earlier this morning on the show 7 to 10, Cap and Jay Hood, there's this.
Hey pal, you know the Chicago's college tailgate. If you're a college football fan, that show starts Saturday.
So I actually listened to tapes of old ones of that,
to
get myself and my mind in a good spot for the show that starts this Saturday.
No
Chris,
shot,
Adam, and yours truly,
the Libertyville dudes.
We will. We'll be on 2 hours before Notre Dame
Love
football.
Those guys.
So if you're a college football fan, every Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, we got it to you. 10:30 Saturday morning.
I'll be there.
Right here on ESPN 1000.
Looking forward to it.
Libertyville what?
The two Libertyville dudes.
All right, we'll tell you about it now. Illinois Media School. We ask you to hold on a second. I wasn't prepared for that. Hang on a second. There we go.
I never said their names.
People know who you're talking about. Now here comes the Black and Abdallah Hive at you.
Yeah. Shout out to the great. Hive.
Bring it on. 8:17, I heard him. Woo, 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 woo. It's time for Illinois Media School.
I rent space in their heads. It's so funny.
There we go. BeOnAir.com, Danny. It's BeOnAir.com for Illinois Media School.
So that was earlier today. So did people on Twitch see me looking around? Did you get the memo? Did you get the memo?
They don't need to play our promo because there's space in their heads. It's so funny.
That sounds familiar.
You know,
did you ever meet a kid on the playground where when you go back and forth like trying to insult each other and then all they would say is they would just repeat what you said to them?
Your mother.
like isn't that exactly what this is?
It's so fun.
I mean, I got gifts. Like that I don't. First of all, I live there.
There's no rent available in my head.
If there was room, it's filled with smoke.
I'm just saying. I heard that earlier today, and I thought it was hilarious because, like, you know, it's a bird,
dog, goldfish, cat.
Yeah, right. But
bird.
I rent space in their heads. Sure. It's so fun.
All right, Black and Abdallah. Here we go. The Bears, I have them at 7-9, and this is why. I've had a battle between my head and my fandom.
There's a lot of room in that head, and
wanting to be right. And the one thing that I think about with all of this is that I'm not trying to make this pick to get people to like me. No, I mean, that happens. That happens in this city. People make picks to get people like them. I can see a path to 7-9. I can also see with Trubisky starting that they go 7-9. So 9-7, 7-9. I have them at 7-9. They're not going to make the playoffs. I think the first 4 weeks will tell us everything. Lions, Giants, Falcons, Colts. If they don't win all four of those games, then I think my 7-9 is going to be spot on.
I had them like you did. I had them at 9-7. I looked at it. I'm like, they could win 9 games if they play really well and they get good quarterback play. Not just what they were in 2018. Better than 2018. They could win 11 games. I see a path to 11 games. Like, you could convince me that they win 11. You could also convince me that they win 6 or 7. And given the injury, I think it all, like, what, one of the swing games is Sunday. So given the injury to Robert Quinn, given Khalil Mack, we don't know if he's going to play. I don't know how to go on Sunday. I'm with you. I'm going to say 7-9, 8-8.
We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 with Waddle and Sylvie.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.